With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Nick Foles will take a knee, and that'll do it. Third down and the final snap of the game. Hugs all around. The Bears are back over 500 at 8-7. Sets up a Week 17 matchup against their hated rival from across the border, the Green Bay Packers, for a chance to get into the NFC playoffs as the 7th seed. Right now, they control their own destiny and don't need anybody's help. They got to do it on their own, and I guess they like and embrace that challenge. Fade to black.
That was a weak fade to black, by the way.
Gotta love the guys. Having a good time there at the end of things. We all should be having a good time right now with the way things sit. The Chicago Bears back over 500 on the season, continuing a potential march toward the playoffs. We didn't think they'd be here, what, a month and a half ago? And yet here they are after that six-game skid. They have rung off three victories in a row and now sit with an 8-7 record after a 41-17 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was how it sounded on our sister station, WBBM, the voice, of course, of Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. You heard there, up until Bulls pregame here at around 6:45, you will hear my voice, Anthony Heron, alongside Bears great Olin Kreutz on the post-post show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We continue to get opportunities to do this post-post show together, and oddly enough, Olin, as we get to do this a few weeks in a row, we get some consecutive weeks together, and suddenly the Bears have reappeared into the playoff picture. They look like a different team, look like a renewed team. In some ways, look like the team a lot of us have sort of been asking for a while. But when you see it several weeks in a row, I think you obviously have to pay attention to who the opponents are and thinking sort of big picture about it. But we're seeing a sustainability to the Bears, especially on offense, that we haven't seen in quite some time, man. What do you make of what you saw today?
Yeah, I just want to hear Coach Nagy say once that we're a running team. It'll make me happy, you know? But look, like you said, we know who they're playing. We know that I think Mitch is the best team he's beat. Their record is 6-9, was the Minnesota Vikings. The defenses have been really bad that the Bears have been putting these numbers up against. I think someone said today was the first time in since 1960 that they scored 30 points four times in a row. And my question was it also the first time they faced defenses that gave up 30 points 4 weeks in a row? But they have looked good. They made adjustments today in the third quarter, went to a little more three wide receiver runs out of the shotgun. That was a good adjustment because the O-line was struggling with their regular front. I thought it was the best D tackles that the Bears O-line had seen. This O-line had seen in a few weeks. So a good adjustment by them. But the great thing, Big Ant, is they've earned a right to go out there and maybe prove everybody wrong this Sunday coming up.
And it feels to me like as folks evaluate where things are at, and we'd love to hear from you out there and where you sit at the moment right now, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767 is the way you can reach us here on the post-post show. Also, the text zone, which the text zone is brought to you by Rose and Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at roseandhyundai.com. You can also reach us on the text line at that same number, 312-644-6767. And I think that the observation of the opponents, it's worthwhile just in thinking about, all right, so what does it mean for Mitch Trubisky? What does it mean for this offensive line? What does it mean for Matt Nagy and how well he's truly coaching? I think context is always important, just like context when they were 5-1, context during the six-game skid, context during the three-game win streak. But it's also noteworthy, and I think it's fair just for folks to enjoy the position the Bears have earned. You used a great word there. They've earned the position they're in right now because
just because you can look at the Bears and say, well, they obviously ain't the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, cool. But they're obviously not the Jacksonville Jaguars either. They just beat the worst team in the NFL 41-17. So it's not like, and Jacksonville's been playing folks close this season. And the Bears, through the first half, were allowing them to play them close. Then they came out of the locker room with a couple of adjustments and with what I thought was some cleaner execution by some of the players as well. And they throttled Jacksonville. 21 points in the third quarter, man. They haven't done that against anybody all season. Haven't done that against anybody in a couple of years. So whoever the opponent is, I think it's worth noting that this is a better ball club than they were a month ago for a variety of reasons. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I think that they are playing a lot better football. It's just, like you said, it's hard to analyze, and me and you are both analysts, when you look at the film and when you watch the game, how much of it is the 32nd ranked defense in NFL and how much of it is the Chicago Bears. But when you take a really good look at it, they are playing better football. Coach Nagy mentioned three or four times today in his post-game press conference about how they've changed schematically and they really want Mitch to be comfortable with what they're doing. And that is showing up. And they're going to what their strengths are. And by that, I mean, early on, the Jaguars were doing a good job against the Bears' run. And I was waiting to see what their adjustments would be. And they, like we talked about, they came on at three wide receivers and ran out a shotgun, ran some RPOs, got them on their heels a little bit, and then started running the ball again. I thought that was a really good adjustment. And we'll see this week when they play, you know, the Packers, how much of that, you know, works against a playoff team.
And for the potential the Bears have as a playoff team right now, that's where a week from now they will face the Green Bay Packers, and Green Bay will be on Sunday Night Football tonight, so be able to check that out, and we'll see what they end up doing. And whether or not, you know, the story isn't written yet for what next week will mean for the Packers. What does Green Bay end up doing? Are they still in play for the number one overall seed in the NFC to lock up home field? Are they still in play where, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers, the MVP discussion could be part of that, and just the team as a whole. So we'll see what Green Bay ends up doing, but they do face the Tennessee Titans tonight on Sunday Night Football. Normally the post show leads you up to Sunday Night Football coverage here on The Score. That won't be the case tonight because the Bulls are back in play. So we'll take you up to Bulls pregame with Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington. They're going to face the Golden State Warriors, the winless Warriors against the winless Bulls. Something's got to give here early in the season. So for one of those ball clubs, their third game of the season will be their first dub of the season. And neither one has really been in their game so far. So looking forward to listening to that. I'll have a kind of a multi-screen experience going on. I'll have The Score. We're seeing what the Bulls are doing. I'll see what Sunday Night Football has going on. May even start rewatching what happened during this Bears game today. But a lot going on in the sports world here in Chicago and beyond. But for the post show, we love to get out to the phone line. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's make sure we get some of these phone lines going as we get things lighting up here in the Score listener line is powered by BetQL, Bet Smarter, and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. So let's start off on the phone lines. I see Randy is out there. Randy's on the phone line right now. Randy, you got Olin Kreutz and Anthony Hare. What's happening, Randy?
Hey, not much. First of all, let me say I respect both you guys. You're awesome Bears, and you guys both do a great job on the radio. Here's my feeling about all of this. I think when you look from top to bottom, when you look at Ryan Pace, when you look at Matt Nagy, when you look at Mitch Trubisky, you see a lot of the same things. You see Mitch Trubisky's a quarterback that may have some talents but is still lacking in some basic abilities that he needs to have as a quarterback in the NFL. You look at Matt Nagy, you see a head coach that his guys played hard for him. You know, he may be a really good guy to, you know, get the players fired up, but he's still maybe lacking some things and could develop more as a head coach. You look at Ryan Pace and you see a guy who's made some really good second round, third round, fifth round draft picks, but has really whiffed on a couple of first round draft picks poorly. And the thing that, you know, you might say, well, let's stick with it. Let's let these guys develop. But honestly, how much time do we have to let Mitch Trubisky develop? And the thing that really bothers me about Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy is you always get the sense, you always get the feeling that those two guys really want everybody to know they're the smartest guy in the room, that they, you know, they're smarter than everybody else, and we're going to run this offense, and we're going to trade up to pick this guy. And to me, that shows a lack of humility, and that's not something that I don't think is going to change if we stick with it. I say, even though the Bears are on a good run and might make the playoffs, blow it all up, and I'll hang on and listen to what you guys have to say. You guys have a happy holiday. I love listening to you, too.
I appreciate you, Randy. Very nice of you to say. Yes, a happy holiday to you out there and everyone listening as well. And there's a lot of that sentiment that's out there, Olin, because it does feel like, you know, a lot of folks who kind of, I suppose, let's use the term, jumped off the bandwagon, for lack of a better term for right now, the folks who were kind of out on this season for the Bears, who were out on Pace and Nagy and Mitch, and a lot of folks came into the season out on those individuals, specifically the quarterback, and just, you know, aren't at this point willing to get back on. And, you know, you and I were talking about context even before Randy's call there, but I think results do matter. And, you know, I think, you know, when you're discussing whether or not there's an opportunity to truly win a Super Bowl, I mean, you played in a Super Bowl where, if you just look at the quarterback you guys had to work with there, obviously an argument can be made that, well, okay, we don't think we're going to, you know, the Bears are going to win a Super Bowl with that guy. How are they going to do it with Rex Grossman? But you guys made it to that game and had a shot to win it. So these things can be a little kind of tenuous at times, and I don't think it's as easy for Bears brass when they look at results. When they say Mitch is now like 25-12 as a quarterback under Matt Nagy, when you look at how they finally have gotten to the point where it seems they're willing to run an offensive system that suits their personnel, I don't think just like the whole fire everybody thing, it's not going to be that simple for Bears brass when they look at the results out there on the field.
Yeah, there's two different things going on right now, right, Big Ant? There's a team that lost six games in a row and then now are back in the playoff picture, and that's pretty exciting for all of us to take a look at. And they have a game coming up right here where they can prove to themselves and Bears brass that they're moving in the right direction. Because I think what you hear from these fans and what you hear from people who question Coach Nagy, who question Ryan Pace, who question Mitch Trubisky, is in the last 2 years, 2019, 2020, there haven't been any really big wins against good football teams, right? Just kind of, we beat the Lions and we're just kind of middle of the pack. We were going to beat the Jaguars by a lot. And then when you take a good look at the games, and you have to take a good, fair look at them, a lot of these teams have injuries, and the Bears are catching a lot of breaks against some of these bad teams. Like the Jaguars today sat their very good running back, James Robinson, right? And then for whatever reason, Gardner Minshew is not playing, which nobody can understand. But other than that, I mean, you know why fans are feeling this way. I think their biggest win in the last 2 years, I wonder what you think, is when they beat Tampa Bay in week 5, 20-19. And Nick Foles won that game, right? So for these guys all, Big Ant, to take the next step, for Mitch Trubisky to take the next step, Ryan Pace, Nagy, all these guys who are kind of tied together with their careers and you know, with their future here with the Chicago Bears, they need a win against, like one coming up against the Green Bay Packers this week coming up, to show that they're moving in the right direction, to show that they are taking that next step. Because I think we all knew when Ryan Pace got hired 6 years ago and took over Phil Emery, how big of a job that was and how much he had to clean everything out and then remake the roster. And you're thinking, okay, 6 years and then 3 years for Coach Nagy, we have to see them moving in the right direction. And you have to see them beating playoff teams at the end of the year during playoff time.
That's really well said there by Olin Krutz. You out there can keep involved in this discussion as well. 312-644-6767. The post show. Olin Krutz and Anthony Heron taking you up to Bulls basketball here on The Score. And I think that when you look at where the squad is at right now, a few things stand out to me. I'd love to get your thoughts here, Olin. I think offensively, they seem to know, not just the system overall, like, you know, we can kind of continue to revisit where you and I have been having this discussion. Other folks around town have had the discussion for a couple of years now of what would have made more sense for the Bears offense that they've finally gotten to with the movement of the pocket, the varying of the launch point, the commitment to balance on offense with the run game, multi-tight end sets, getting a fullback on the field on occasion, all these things, that getting the quarterback under center. They've gotten to that more consistently as Bill Lazor has become the play caller, and it has suited their personnel, as many of us thought would end up being the case. But in addition to that, couple of things that stand out to me in recent weeks. I was talking to you about it a bit last week. They've taken some wrinkles from what they've seen other offenses do and added them, like the way they utilize Darnell Mooney, not just as a deep route runner, as the go route guy or nine route, seven routes, you name it, but also as a guy who can come out of the backfield. You give him the ball on jet sweep, be a bubble screen player from the backfield. Added some of those things that like the Rams and some other teams have done to them. And I think they're finally getting to a point where I feel like they're utilizing the offensive personnel better. It really boggled my mind why Jimmy Graham wasn't a consistent part of the red zone package for a while during the season. And now we've gotten back to that point. And today is cool, like seeing him score touchdowns and all that. But even if you don't target a Jimmy Graham, just have him be out there as a decoy. Run some formations that folks know you like to use him in. We've seen that. We've seen David Montgomery become the main ball carrier. So I think they seem to have a better sense for how to utilize their personnel, and it seems to be more consistently happening that way. Love to get your thoughts on that. We got to get a timeout in right now, and I want to start there, and then, of course, we will get out to the phone lines as well with folks like Dale, Jack, and everyone else who's coming onto the line right now, 312-644-6767. But that's kind of, for me, some of the things a little more specifically that I feel like this is where the Bears offense is in a better position to score against better teams now, because they're frankly just putting their players in a better position to do so. I want to hear from Olin Krutz on that topic. How much more well-suited are the Bears to compete with a good team like Green Bay next week than they were the last time they got throttled by the Packers coming out of that bye week? We'll cover that and get out to the phone lines. We'll do that next year. This is the Post Post Show on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Snap, Trubisky takes turns, give it to Montgomery, stutters, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! David Montgomery in, and it's 26-10 Bears here in the third.
Yeah, the guys up front are doing a hell of a job. They've been doing a hell of a job for a long time now, and I appreciate those guys. So me being able to get in the rhythm is not up to me. It's definitely up to those guys up front, and they always do that for me. So, you know, I was able to get in the rhythm from the help of those guys, and the wide receiver blocking and the tight end doing what the tight end do. And, you know, Mitch affecting the naked or him just being him. So just being able to get in the rhythm is big, so we can help the pass game out for sure.
Another strong effort for that man right there, David Montgomery. Today, finished up 23 carries, 95 yards, and a touchdown. Box wasn't light for him today. And, you know, there's been times this season where they've churned out some rushing yards against some light boxes, some teams kind of daring them to run the rock. That's not the case anymore. They are still finding ways to churn out yards, 4.1 yards per carry. And now, at this point, David Montgomery got over the mark. Got over 1,000 rushing yards this season for the first time in his career. So cool to see him do that. Congratulations to David Montgomery and to this group, this formation of the Bears offensive line. I'm Anthony Heron alongside the great Olin Krutz. This is the Bears Post Show on The Score. And I was kind of giving my list of ways that I feel like the offense is better now, sort of better suited for success at this point. What is that ceiling against a quality team? We did see them play the Green Bay Packers, who were in line to perhaps be the number one overall seed in the NFC. Not a dominant Packers defense, but we saw what the Packers offense, just kind of marching up and down the field against the Bears defense, then it puts the Bears offense that much more behind the eight ball. So before we get out to the phone lines, as we got Dale and Jack and Rick on hold, we'll get to them in a moment here. But I'd love to get your thoughts, Olin, just on, from what you've seen here over the past month from this Bears offense, does it feel like they're better suited at this point to be competitive against better teams? Because we really haven't had to watch them play any of the better teams here lately.
Yeah, it's interesting because when they played the Packers the last time, it was really the three takeaways that really hurt them, right? Or the three turnovers, Mitch's two interceptions and a sack fumble for a touchdown. I think Preston Smith picked it up and scored, but David Montgomery, now that game, I think 11 rushes, 103 yards, 9 yards a carry. So they did move the ball. But like you said, context always matters, right? And Mitch threw three touchdown passes, but two of those were in the fourth quarter. So we know they can run the ball against this Green Bay Packers defense, or at least we know they could do it the last time. But they're definitely, you know, you don't score, you know, no matter who you're playing, to score the amount of points the Bears have scored, in the last 4 weeks has been really an impressive, especially for an offense that wasn't scoring points against anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And was the last, you know, was number 32 out of 32 teams in rushing the ball in the NFL at 80 yards a game. And I think after today, they'll be over, averaging over 100 yards a game. So they've really improved in that area. And late in the season, in the NFL, you always talk about, you always have to be able to run the ball and stop the run. And that's where, Big Ant, we come to the defense, right? And that's one thing you worry about with this defense today. A guy, Darwe Ogunbowale, I studied that. You know, he had 5 yards of carry, right? So he had 5 yards of carry today. So, some, you know, defense who gave up 182 yards rushing to the Packers the last time, gave up 5.5 yards of carry to Dalvin Cook just last week. Those are some of the things you worry about going to this game this week coming up.
Yeah, definitely worthy of concern there from a personnel perspective, because it's the same cast of characters who the Bears couldn't handle just a few weeks back. 312-644-6767. Let's get out to Dale, who's on the south side, wants to talk about the Bears and what's happening with what we're seeing right now. Dale, you got Crutes and Heron. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show so far. I'm not defending the interception. It should have never been thrown. He should have tucked it and ran or just got rid of the ball. But I thought in the quarterback scramble drill that the receivers make themselves available, at least flash, come back towards the ball. It looks like just they just all laid back in the end zone. And that's what created the traffic. And what was that jet sweep to the tight end? I ain't gonna listen.
It's a good question, Dale. It's a question that Matt Nagy answered during the post game. So I, really both. So I suppose I can paraphrase Nagy and Trubisky on the two things you referenced there, Dale. One, on the jet sweep to the tight end, it felt like there were a number of things in the first half to me, that seemed to sort of harken back to that first, let's call it, you know, couple of months of the season, and really last couple of years to some extent, where some of the things that have I'll speak for myself, that have frustrated me and some others about Matt Nagy's situational play calling, where you get into short yardage situations or the red zone, and especially on a day like today, and you evaluate the last month where you obviously are having success with David Montgomery as the ball carrier. Cole Kmet on a jet sweep, it seems like such an odd play call for the situation they're in there on the 1 yard line. And Matt Nagy's response after the game when asked about it was that the play looked good in practice during the week. And hey, man, I guess that's part of what you have to go on when you're game planning for these scenarios. But there's a good reason why things look good in practice and don't always end up looking good on the field of play. Between that and Mitch's interception, Mitch addressed that after the game also and basically said one of the defenders fell down. He thought that would give A-Rob an opportunity, wanted to give his guy a chance to make a play. If he had it to do all over again, he would have thrown the ball out of bounds or, you know, just run it or something other than throw it into quadruple coverage. What was your take on a couple of those first half moments that seemed like real head scratchers?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know any other way to say it, but I just hated that call, that jet sweep to Cole Kmet on the goal line, and really can't explain to you what Coach Nagy was thinking there. Look, we talked on the pregame show that you're just worried about, are the Bears willing to be boring just to beat a team like the Jaguars, right? Just do what you have to do and get out of there with a win. And as far as Mitch's interception, yep, the receivers could have, drove downhill a little harder to try to get to him, to get to the ball. I think they were all trying to run the back of the end zone. And Mitch should have just threw that away. But those are the things that you still worry about with Mitch. And there was also, in the third quarter, the second drive of the first play where he tried to hit Cole Kmet over the middle, and the Jaguars safety basically just dropped the ball. So there's a few things that you're watching the game. I think Jerod Wilson driving downhill on that ball had it hit him right in the chest, and he just dropped it. So there's things when you watch the game, that's why, you know, Big Ant, as analysts, like, you know, you're always kind of got an eye for, okay, how does this relate to the better teams in the NFL? And I think we heard from the first caller tonight, this is what we're all waiting for, right? We all want to see this versus a good football team. We all want to see this team that, you know, they have a Super Bowl-ready defense, or, that's what we thought at least halfway through the first half of this season. We all want to see them take another step pretty soon here before this defense's window closes.
Yeah, and that's something I definitely want to get into. We'll take a break in a few minutes, and when we come back after the 6 o'clock hour, we'll have some time. We want to make sure we get into this Bears defense also, because it was they gave up 17 points, so you certainly can't say the Bears defense had a bad game. Mm-hmm. But wasn't an overall dominant game. They didn't shut the door on the run game. They didn't necessarily get after the quarterback in the way that you anticipate. So I want to get into that in further detail. But we do have a caller on the line, Rick, who's sort of along the lines of some of the concerns, let's call them, that would be there with the Bears D. So while we still got a moment, let's go ahead and get Rick involved in this discussion. Let's talk about the Bears defense. Rick, you got Olin and Anthony. What's going on?
Yeah, thanks, guys. I really enjoyed your show. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, just on the Bears defense, first of all, I think the best player on the whole defense is Roquan Smith. I would take him over any other player on defense. And all the investment they have in the defensive line, including Mack, when I watched him today against, this immobile quarterback, I was like, how could they not sack him one time? I know they got a lot of hurries, but they sure didn't look dominant. And the other thing I want to say on offense, especially for Olin, is, in the beginning of the year when Montgomery couldn't even get past the line of scrimmage before he got a little hole, people were questioning if he was a good running back. And I'm like, this guy's a great running back. He gets no holes at all. And when I watch him now, people are like going nuts over what a great running back is. But it's the offensive line that's making the big difference. I see it every play. He doesn't get stopped at the line. He gets a little hole, and then he's tremendous. So anyway, that's enough. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you, Rick. And the pass rush, I'll save a few thoughts on that. We'll have more time to make sure we get into deeper detail on the Bears D. So maybe we'll do that after the 6 o'clock hour. But I don't disagree with a lot of the observations you're saying there on that side. But you brought up, Rick did, something that I wanted to get your thoughts on, Olin, specific to David Montgomery, because I do feel like we've talked in sort of broader terms, and in sometimes specifically, especially the last couple of years here, his running style, his vision, patience versus hitting the hole quickly, and some of those things that can affect the success or failure of a run play. And everything we've talked about in recent weeks, especially me and you, about this Bears offensive line, I don't think I've specifically asked you, now that we are seeing David Montgomery more in unison with this O-line, and feels like at times, like, all right, everybody's got a running back, and everybody, undrafted free agents, putting up chunk yardage in games and whatnot, but how good, from what we're seeing here of David Montgomery lately, how good do you think he can be?
Yeah, really, really impressed with what we've seen from him lately. And I think he said it best, that I think that was him that we came in from the break and we're listening to talk about his offensive line and how they're really keen get him to that line of scrimmage. And David Montgomery, I think even when he was getting hit in the backfield, he was leading the NFL in broken tackles. So he's been doing this for a while, even when the offensive line was not playing well. And the thing that this outside zone scheme makes the defense do, along with the quarterback boot, is it makes the linebackers defend sideline to sideline. And by that, I mean, you got the running back running outside zone one way and a quarterback booting the other way. So now the linebackers really don't know which way to go. They have to cover all 53 yards of that field. And David Montgomery has showed you, he went 80 yards versus the Texans. For me, that's one thing I worried about him, right? I didn't know if he had the speed to go the distance, right. but he proved us wrong there. He took it 57 yards against the Packers. So he's been playing really, really at a high level. We'll keep saying this, whatever question is thrown our way, Big Ant, tonight, because we have to put it in context. He's played the worst defenses in the NFL versus the run the last few weeks. So just kind of waiting. Wanted the first half today, thought the Jaguars made some good adjustments, slowed him down a little bit. I think he had a 20-yard run there, but it was the first time in a couple of weeks I see him get dropped behind the line of scrimmage. And that's not just him. That's the offensive line, too. So as they come up, as people start to adjust, as this new scheme starts to get on film more and more and people start to adjust to it, what the Bears' adjustments are and how they get these defenses back off balance is going to be extremely important. But as far as David Montgomery goes, a very good running back. I don't know if I would put him in the elite category, but he is having a good 3 or 4 weeks here.
And that, there's no doubt about that, man. The productivity is there. The effort is there. You referenced him breaking tackles. His numbers were sensational with that in college. They've continued to be sensational with him forcing missed tackles and breaking tackles in the time he's been in the National Football League. The question of, you know, as we spin this forward towards next weekend and facing the Green Bay Packers and what the Packers may or may not have on the line, I'll make sure I get listeners abreast for those who may not know about the tiebreaker scenarios, why the Cardinals lost yesterday mattered, why the Bears win today matters. They are officially in the seventh seed. We'll get into a little bit of that after we take a timeout here. We'll get to Dan, who's on hold as well. Keep those phone lines going to 312-644-6767. I'm Anthony Herron, Bears great Olin Krutz here with me as well on the Post Show, taking you up to Bulls basketball, which will be here at about 6:45. We'll get you there and make sure that you have all the room available for Chuck Swirsky and Bill Winnington as the Bulls face the Dubs in NBA action here. So, quick timeout on the way, top of the hour coming up next. Continuing the Bears discussion, phone lines open, text line available on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.